Welcome to the Cedar Hills Development Commission.
Turn on the microphones.
Says it's on.
Is it? Okay.
Dated Tuesday, May 28th, it's 7 p.m. We're located in the Community Recreation Center. We'll start our meeting with public comment, and so we've set aside time for the public to express any ideas, concerns, comments, suggestions, anything they want to talk about for 3 minutes. I didn't look at the sign-up sheet, but there is one. But if there's anybody here from the public who'd like to make a comment, now is your opportunity. There will be a public hearing later on agenda item number 5, which is all the land and commercial subdivision. We had a public hearing last time for the other property. Okay. So, anybody here want to make a public comment? If so, come up to the microphone and state your name and where you reside. Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment portion of the meeting. So item number 3 on the agenda is approval of the minutes from April 30th, 2019 Planning Commission meeting. I was not in attendance, so I won't participate in the approval of the minutes, but if anybody else here would like to... What's that? Any comments?
Nope. I'm not very good in that.
I will second that. Make sure we speak in the microphone.
I move that we approve the minutes as presented.
And I will second that. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. Item number 4. Review recommendation on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 3 regarding rezoning a parcel located approximately 9390 Tippecanoe Road from open space to the H1 hillside zone, and then the official zone map to reflect the zoning changes. Camber, would you like to fill us in on the topic at hand?
So we did a public hearing this item in March. Right, so what's up on the screen right now is the Cane Heights Cedar Hills Plat G. That's up on the hillside as you head up to Tippecanoe Park. So this, for reference, this big space right here, this is Tippecanoe Park. And just down the street is lots 13, this one right here, 9394, and 14, which is open space, the main open space on this parcel. Mr. Nick Miller owns the home, built the home on lot 13, and in 2015 purchased lot 14 from the city. So lot 14, even though it is open space, it is privately held right now, which according to state law, they have privately held open space. By the time she had to do that a little differently, but I don't. The tricky part of lot 13 and 14 was that Mr. Miller owns, let's dive in a little bit deeper here, is on lot 13 here, you can see a Utah Power Light easement, so a Rocky Mountain Power easement right now. It runs on the back side of the property. This home face is on the road right here. So there's a 50-foot UPNL unit, which is inherited by Rocky Mountain Power. So it really limits those homes as they build back into the hillside. Additionally, the lot that Mr. Miller purchased from the city contains, once again, a continuation of that UPNL easement. And it also has this weird 90-degree angle easement. It's a funny shape easement. You don't see that, something like that too often. But it's an aqueduct easement. It's for the Salt Lake Sandy Metropolitan Water District aqueduct that runs along the hillside there. And then an easement that was not on the open space plat, but is being shown as being proposed as part of the new dedication, is this 20-foot wide drainage easement that comes off the hillside. So as you go up the hillside here, there's a natural drainage swell that collects rainwater. I'm sure it's been a little bit busy this last few weeks. But it collects rainwater off the hillside and redirects it into the city system, making it collects into the culvert there, and it takes it just a bit to the south and to the west into a retention basin that's formed there. It's just a basic street where you can extract. So this is the lot as it currently stands. Let's go to the proposal. Like I said, there's two items that were concerned with the planning commission and staff in the previous two meetings that we had on the site. One was for a rededication, because he wants to combine these two lots and remove the open space designation, which we need to figure out some way to get rid of that open space designation if it's in private hands. So one of the concerns is we need to show this drainage easement. So on the new proposed plat, he is showing a 20-foot wide drainage easement so that the city has the rights to go in and clean that easement when needed. The second issue was due to the slopes that exist there, we wanted to make sure that we're not creating a building envelope that presents a challenge or a liability for that drainage easement. So you can see this is the concourse of the current property and proposal as well. So this current house, this square box, this square-ish that box is the proposed addition, is that correct? Okay. This current house terminates, right here, this is where the foundation is. And you can see that the contour of these slopes, really, it's fairly flat on the south side of this house up to about this point. Then you can kind of see where it bends right here on these lines, the natural grade of that drainage slope as it comes down the mountain. The box here being the inlet into the retention basin. You can see that this house is not set right up against the hillside here, but removed quite a ways. I don't see a distance located on here, but I'm guessing it's north of 20 feet. It's probably somewhere in the 22 to 23 feet, I would assume. I'm making that assumption based on this point right here to this point right here is 21.9 feet. You can see that this distance to the where it gets really steep is greater than that, so it's bigger than 20 feet. And I say that because in the geotech report for this subdivision, you can see that they did test pits in the area around the home. But in the geotech report, they said that anywhere there's a steep hillside, the homes can't be set back one third of the height of the slope. Right? So if we go back to the slope analysis, the slide showing the slopes of the contours, you can see, it's hard to see on this one, but these bolded lines are about 5 feet apart in height. So you have 5, 10, 15, about 19 to 20 feet. So if you're going to go 20 feet up and a third back, you're looking at 7 feet to the foundation. He's showing a building at about 20 feet, so about a 1-to-1 ratio, not a 3-to-1. So those were the two items that the Planning Commission brought up as being of concern in the previous two meetings. This was tabled last time because it didn't show, the proposal didn't show a slope limit or a structure limit line. So on this new map, you can see this crosshatched area right in here. And in the notes for this, you see that crosshatched area means undocumented fill area, slope stability failure zone. All structures within slope stability failure zone shall extend and require putting foundations made of existing grunge elevations as shown. So we've got a limit on the kind of structures that can be placed inside of that.
So you have to, it has to be 7 feet away from the beginning of the slope is the kind of the idea here.
Yeah. If I'm going to read, I can read it for you exactly what it says. If you don't mind.
Yeah, just to be clear, the notice agenda item says that staff is requested surveyor to map out the slope failure zone to show the structure of the limit that they show this.
Yeah.
So it's nothing pending from the surveyor, right?
Yeah, we have it. All right. Thanks.
I mean, it's okay. I believe you. We talked about
that. Okay, I read it earlier today, so it's there. It's hard to dive through an older PDF. Yeah. What questions can I answer from the planning commission? Are the homeowner and property owner and the engineers here as well? So they're here to answer questions.
All three easements are going to be recorded this time,
right? So it'll show the, well, it'll still show the power line easement, it'll show the aqueduct easement, and we're going to create the drainage easement as well.
That aqueduct's in use today?
Yeah, we are. If anything happened to that, you can see it on KSL right now. All Salt Lake County, we have one.
So you said a moment ago that little box is an expansion of their existing one?
Yeah, that's the intent of the joining the properties, is the ability to extend the building a little. Apparently, he could not do that because the property line, the setback is the property, is too close to the property.
So the bolded box is the addition?
Right.
So, I was going to say, any one of the three, do you have any comments you'd like to make on this project?
Thanks for that staff report. That was pretty thorough, and I was honestly impressed that we can find that whole soils report from way back when we started that Canyon Heights project.
Excuse me, can you state your name? Thanks, sorry.
With Northern Engineering. We were the original design engineer on that Canyon Heights project back when it initially started. So one thing that when the property owner approached me to come in, I was honestly concerned as well. Obviously, we had some staff members and some residents that were concerned mainly with this addition, this proposed addition, that they didn't want that thing to slide off the hill. With the documents that we were able to pull up from our archive files with the original topographic survey showing where that hill was even before we cut in the road and before that drainage area, that drainage channel was filled, which was what I call is undocumented fill. I don't believe it was brought in. An engineer filled this and capable of sustaining that structure. So what we did is we superimposed the existing contours or the pre-developed contours onto what the Roger and Todd Dudley surveyed that were showing the existing contours on this map, because I wanted to get a good confirmation that the proposed finished floor elevation of this addition basically penetrated and went into the pre-existing ground, so we didn't have any of that structure extending out into that undocumented fill. In addition to that, one third of the slope from the bottom of the slope to the top of the slope, and what that is if that slope were to ever fail, even from the pre-existing native soils, if that were to fail, it wouldn't undermine or expose the footing and foundation of the improvement of the addition. And the finished floor elevation, just some round numbers, is 103, is going to be the finished floor elevation of that sports court for the addition. The existing ground right there on the south side of that addition is about between 107 and 110. So that tells me that the foundation and the footings of that addition are going to be well within the original ground, which, once I was able to establish that, that's when I thought we can show the slope figure and give the city the information that they need, staff, that you feel confident that this addition is not going to be extending over and beyond what that original ground surface was. Concern if that slope
were to fail. So these contour lines are the original topo from the survey before the improvements?
No, this is actually how it sits today.
This is today.
Yeah.
But this the crosshatch setback line now is based on...
I use that basically on both. Okay. Because the original surface really didn't show an abrupt total slope. It was more of a constant slope, almost that one-third slope area. So what I ended up doing is extending that pre-existing slope out to where they brought in that undocumented fill. And then in addition to that, added that note to say, hey, we want to make sure those footings and foundations extended into that.
Okay, and so there's not going to be any driveway or anything connected? This is just going to be an external, you said, four-court structure that's going out? And
that's what it was explained to me, yeah, that the four of the sports courts.
Like an indoor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so with the existing lower floor elevation right now is an elevation of 13, and the sports court is going to be another 10 feet lower than that, it's at 03. And
so what did you say was the old grade?
The old grade? Okay, let me show you. Let me just pull this out.
So while you're doing that, I wanted to recognize that Eric, you've got your short?
Floor, yeah.
Short.
I figured after missing 5 months that I would be really late, too.
So I want to recognize Eric. Yeah. Shore is a voting commission member this evening.
This was a last minute exhibit that we prepared that shows the. This isn't the packet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yes. This makes sense. I believe that shows the core finish floor, the CFM, was 03.25. And then the existing basement floor was 13. So, anyways, I really do. We tried to show what we had in our pre-existing files. It's great to have a topographic survey showing what's actually built. And then identify on this proposed plat one where the building envelopes would be, and then also showing where this storm tank.
So I don't know about my fellow commissioners. I don't personally have a problem with the slope, given what's considered here. I did drive by the property earlier today to take a look. There's definitely a nice slope there. It'd be great to difficult to build anything on, and only a foolish person would attempt to do so. So, and then of course I saw the Aquica sign there about the high pressure hydrants there. I wanted to make a couple of comments. So this body has had previous open space vacancy type requests in the past, which this body was not approved because of the impact on the public. And that's why I went by earlier today to see what impact it would be to the neighbors and the public, and I didn't see any. Because I just don't see, you know, if you're going to build one, there's no neighbors that they instantly need to have their views blocked or impacted. There's nobody to the south of you. So I just couldn't see any interest, you know, public concern. Maybe this body discussed the last time I was here, but that was one that I just want to share that. I see there's a distinction between previous requests and this one because of that. And then, so Chandler, we just vacated the open space by motion.
Yeah, give a recommendation to the council.
Yeah.
Let me maybe backtrack and just touch on what you said.
Yeah.
During the first meeting, I believe it was in March, when we had the public hearing, we did have a few members of the neighborhood that were here. Their concerns were not about the open space provision. Their concerns were about the continuation of that drainage to allow for to offer to remain unobstructed. So where it's a city infrastructure, it's in our best interest to maintain that free flow of water, especially in years like this year, when we have a lot of water coming down the site. So that was their concern. And you're right, I don't believe that you can treat all open space the same. The difference between this piece of open space and the open space that we had with the Oak Grove parcel a number of times was that Oak Grove parcel was found on the city's capital improvements plan as a potential park. This is, you drove up there, there's no park potential on this piece. So.
That also was a different zoning as well. That was public facility zoning versus open space, which can't be in private hands, right?
Right. And I think the last item would be that
What the neighbors were saying was where you were going.
Well, what is drainage easement? I mean, that's sort of that local thing, that port on property. So,
no, you can see on this aerial is this is an existing cement pad underneath this new structure. I do think it's important that the new structure be built on a native grade, not fill grade, which I believe that's what we're projecting from. So that if the event that toe does slough off on this hillside and it blocks the channel, it's not taking the building.
What are the requirements around looking design and feel of that door?
It has to fit in the neighborhood. I believe they have some design requirements. It's not as stringent as other neighborhoods. They have a little bit more leeway.
Just to pick up on what they've said aesthetically, Monica, I don't think we'd levy any type of condition. I don't think we're in a place to do that. Just as a good neighbor, you're going to want to do something that matches your house and fits in the neighborhood. It is a large space. So it's going to have a different passing, a little different feel. You have to work a little harder to break it down and make it like residential. That's up to you. From a foundation standpoint, even native sales, in this area in the Hillside District, aren't always tremendously trustworthy. So just a word of caution, you're going to want to be careful. You do get your footings and foundation designed for this structure. It's going to be a little taller structure. What I understand is going to be in the ground somehow, which will lower your height.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you'll see a lot of the structure actually from the road, but
aesthetically, I don't think the massing would be an issue. Yeah. It's more, I wouldn't trust the soils too much. Just to make sure you've got a good foundation down there. We've had a lot of trouble out there, as you know. Those are just side comments. Otherwise, if you're with the neighbor, I don't have any issues.
Does anyone else have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I think from the previous time we discussed this, what all we wanted to see was that design setback line, which we hadn't, and I'm okay with that now.
Well, it was a design line, but it can't be an arbitrary line. It has to be a reason for it.
Yeah.
So I think that we've got that now.
This is precisely what I was asking. Is that drainage easement culvert? Is there a little culvert there, or is that just...
No, it's a real culvert.
It's already there.
There's an inlet.
Just easement for us.
Yeah, the easement wasn't... Well, it was city property when it was originally owned, so it wasn't an easement.
So, what are the public noticing requirements for this?
Have a public hearing notice to be noticed to neighbors. Anytime the public notice requirements for any decision, like any land use decision like this, you have to notice it to be one public hearing. You're not obliged to do a public hearing each time it's on the agenda. So you have to have a public hearing prior to any decision that's being made. And that's why I say it was noticed in March. And just because no decision was held in March, public was able to come and give comment. And when it goes to the planning board, it goes to the city council, there will be another public notice that's sent out to neighbors, so they'll get another chance to say their piece for
us. So did we already send a public notice to the neighbors?
Yes, that was done in March.
And that's when it came and spoke about it, right?
Yes. We had people come raise concerns.
But I didn't see a sign there.
There was a sign.
It
doesn't need to be there now because that was 2 months ago.
Right.
But there was a sign on the
right. We had a sign there at some point.
I thought there was even a picture I showed in the March meeting that had that sign in it, so yeah. There was a sign.
Did anyone make a motion on this topic?
I will. I move that we recommend the preliminary plans for the... No, wrong line. We recommend to City Council the alteration of the zoning of Canyon Heights Plat G, Lot 14, by removing the open space and non-buildable lot provisions identified in the plat map. And I'll get rid of that.
We also want to move it, it's already in the Twin Hills site zone, or we need to identify it?
It stays, it's not changing the zone.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
All right, any discussion for vote? Anything, Eric?
Nope,
I'm good.
And you are voting for that.
Okay.
That's how I want it.
Yes.
Yes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Under this work. All right, next item on the agenda is review recommendation and public hearing on preliminary plans for Gorilla Peak Land Commercial Subdivision located by San Cielo Drive and 4600 West in the SC1 commercial zone.
Okay, I'd like Chandler to relay some information, and then we'll have a public hearing, and then we will discuss and talk about it.
Okay, so what we have up on the screen before us is the proposed Gorilla Peak Landing commercial subdivision. And I've met with Mr. Bill West, who's in attendance tonight. Thank you for being here. Regarding this subdivision, we sent the subdivision off to the engineers, city engineers, and we received feedback, and I believe that was sent off to the developers as well. I want to go over some of the concerns that were brought up in the review process that need to be addressed before approval is given. Before I do that, did you want to say anything? What you want to make? Okay, all right. Because there's still some questions that staff has, and maybe can be so kind to answer a couple of them that are straightforward. On the subdivision, it shows a number of units here. We've got 7 units. This is Cedar Hills, sorry, this is Cedar Hills Drive, and this is Redwood Drive, 4600 West. So it's on the corner behind the Walmart. It's just east of the Walmart.
Snow Shack. Yes, that's where Snow Shack is now.
Say it again?
Where the Snow Shack.
Snow Shack sits somewhere in this, yes, yes, section, yes. And it wraps, the idea is that the building kind of wraps around the corner in some fashion similar to what Lexington Heights does. Now the question that was brought up was, are these pieces going to be sold for these deals?
So if we want the ability to sell, but we think what we want to do is the current plan. So we'll do either a PUD or a condominium, whichever you have. So we have to do is a unit for our 10,000 lease.
When this was brought to us, a discussion item before the Planning Commission last month, there was a few items that were brought up then that the engineers brought up as well. Let's dive into this. One of them was that our code for commercial buildings really emphasizes the walkability or the ability to access buildings. One of the problems we're seeing on this flat map is that the site people access on the site we have ADA parking, there would need to be a sidewalk on this portion of it. So that meets ADA specs. There's a couple issues with the parking. One of the questions I guess I have is, as far as the use, is there any indication as to what the uses would be?
We're calling it flex space.
Okay.
It's interesting in the marketplace right now. We think there will be some office space. We've got one person who wants to take half of it and have a baseball, basketball training facility. My expectation is we'll have some people who are operating either a small business or distribution of their home in their garage. I think this is going to be attractive to them. Maybe a dance studio or something.
Right.
I think it's going to be some office in some larger space of people who want to get out of their home and move in.
We've discussed that before, is that it would serve very nicely as a transition between a business that's operated out of a home or a basement and kind of outgrown the home-based business model and looking to move into some initial commercial properties. I guess one of the concerns we have is on the, so in that case, the commercial business would be some sort of order fulfillment in all likelihood. It could be any number of things. But.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, but I don't, I mean, you know, I think in the Lexington, you've got a dance studio, and
yes.
It wouldn't surprise me if we have another one maybe that wants to be
yeah.
here. This space is really hard to come by in this whole area, which we think it will be pretty attractive for people who are outgrowing something in their home.
So, the reason we bring it up is just that the number of parking stalls is 72 for the whole development. And per our code, that only allows for 12,000 square feet of office space. Now, in my conversations leading up to this proposal, I've met with Eric Larson a number of times, who has indicated that there may be some shortcomings with our parking code as it relates to office space. And so if that's the case, I think that's something that we would want to look at and be probably congruent with other neighborhoods, other cities that have provisions on office space and parking. So we'll want to look at that. Because right now, this, given the size of the building and the number of parking spaces, it's under park, if it's all office space. If it's other items, if it does other things, then maybe it's not. So
yeah.
That's why I bring up the use question, because it really could indicate what the parking should be.
We're close to, I think, probably over 3 per 1,000. If you have pure non-office space, a lot of cities are 1 per 1,000 up to about 3.3 per 1,000, I think.
Okay.
So I think we're on the higher end of this kind of space as peers, I think.
Okay.
So there's, down in Pleasant Grove, there's near that jump place, there's some sports training facilities there as well. There's like a volleyball club and some other things that meet. Kind of, it's sort of like this, maybe bigger, but.
Is it just the one just off the freeway?
No. Anyways, they've got that. Yeah, big indoor gym and stuff. But the format's kind of like this. The parking's atrocious. Like you'll have practice for 2 or 3 volleyball teams or something in there, and you can't get in and out. It takes 10, 15 minutes to get in and out of the parking lot. So if it ended up being like a sports training thing, and there was a volleyball club or a baseball club or something like that, that could have significant impacts on traffic there. For limited times, but that might be a concern a little bit.
One possible way to alleviate that concern would be to work out a shared parking agreement with Walmart. And Walmart, they park for obviously their Black Friday event, and the rest of the time it's very easy to find parking in their parking lot. So
you don't shop there, do you?
Yeah, I was there on Saturday. It's not maybe not easy to find front row parking, but I think that there could be some solutions that could be had that would still allow for these types of uses. But working with Walmart, maybe a neighbor on parking.
I think that from I think I'd like to see that
for sure
as part of something that we would approve.
So a moment ago you said that our office. Need some revision. What was the revision suggestions?
I don't have a revision suggestion right now, but right now our code requires 6 parking spots per 1,000 square foot per square feet. Which, if others are parking at 3 and 4, then maybe that's high. I guess that's what really.
What is Lexington Heights?
I don't know, but they have a shared parking agreement with the Charleston.
So, my thoughts around the parking. So, it sounds like, I forget, what's your name saying?
What's our Bill question?
Bill. So, you know, Bill doesn't know for certain what's going to transpire here, right?
But we also don't require them to tell us that, too.
Correct, but if we're talking about trying to create parking, it's on the premise that it's in the office space. We don't know that, but I don't know the word. So you probably should approach it from a multi-use perspective, right? Not
right.
Perspective.
So that's fine. You could have, let's take unit 1 here. you could have it be 100% office space, right? In that case, at 6 per thousand, you're looking at almost 18 stalls just for that one unit, probably more like 15. But let's say that it was indeed an order fulfillment. You had somebody that, you know, made some boutique or had some boutique and made it mostly order fulfillment. Well, the amount of actual office space in the unit could be a third of that. And the rest could be just storage for goods that are meant to be shipped out. So it really depends on the use. And I'll give Amsource as an example. You have Great Cooks and Marcos Pizza down there. But in between, there's two shells of the building that are not currently used that we don't know what the use is. We don't know what the water rights are. We don't know what the parking is, but they still have a parking lot. So you kind of have to, let's see, go through your gut. You have to make a pragmatic decision based on the information that you have. So parking, I think parking is...
Are you saying there's too much parking on this patch or not enough parking?
Yeah. It's hard to say, not knowing what it is. Well, I don't know. If it's a baseball studio, if it's a training studio, and you have one person that has half the units, and well, then maybe it's not overparked for the size of the building. I don't know how big the one in Pleasant Grove is, but it may not be overparked at that point. If it's a private trainer, if it's six dance studios at 5 o'clock every day, this is going to be a nightmare. So I mean, it really just depends on.
Well, I guess it is the one by the end. Like it's kind of between the landfill area and
Well, when it comes to parking, I've seen many examples, I think we all have, where a city or planning commission didn't allocate enough parking,
sure.
And it's still over the street and the neighbors.
I tend to
caution boards of having more parking than necessary, especially since we don't have such a small level.
I was going to ask that. The whole east side there, right from there down, is that going to be red turf?
It already is. You can't park on street.
Yeah, the people do.
Not typically.
Every Sunday.
Okay.
Every Sunday. Across the street, that's where I go to church. And every Sunday,
it's not proposed to be red curb right now.
Okay. I think it's a bad idea. I think having parking along that street is not good.
No, I don't like parking on that street.
And mostly they park in the cut, but then they exchange out.
So Jenny's going to have to work overtime on Sundays to take care of
street cars.
Fortunately for her, she has an issue parking sensors.
So okay, let's, I was just going to clarify that.
Yeah.
Are you done presenting, John?
Oh, no.
Okay,
why don't you continue? Except my name.
In our opinion, we're on the high side of parking. We're approaching 4 per 1,000, which is way more than any of these kind of spaces I know of in the development ground. So that's why I really feel pretty comfortable. We're going to operate this building and keep it. So we think we've got adequate parking. But like Jen said, you really never know. We that may limit what use we can put in those buildings if the parking becomes a problem.
Yeah. So you might have to just accept the parking that's there and then say, well, this use may not be allowed due to the fact that it would prevent a serious problem with parking further on down the road.
I think, like you said, that we could potentially completely avoid the parking problem if there's a co-parking agreement between them and Walmart.
And then that's depending on how Walmart approaches that. I mean, I
personally like to see the parking requirements for the project, not rely on a third party.
Well, you don't, but at the same time, our code does allow for shared parking. But
sure.
I see what
it may expire 10 years from now and they may not renew it, etc. So whatever we want a third party, it's not the best.
I can move on if you'd like.
Let's move on.
Okay. One other item that was brought up by the Planning Commission was the dumpster enclosure.
Yeah.
Obviously, that can't be along the road here, so it's got to be somewhere back here. I thought right here would be a nice spot. Tuck the pole in, take the dumpster back out, and come back out to go. So the dumpster enclosure is an issue. One other issue that was brought up, just as a concern, was the distance between
the existing sidewalk here and the building. This sidewalk's 5 feet, this building sits about 3 feet away from the sidewalk, so you're looking at building about
8 feet from the road.
Well, not 8 feet from the road, it's still about a foot curb gutter, foot of park strip, sorry, 5 feet of park strip, 5 feet of sidewalk, then another 3 feet. So you're looking at like 14 or 15 feet from the road.
Right.
I'm saying more of a standpoint of like this building is adjacent to a sidewalk. So just something of note.
Is that a that doesn't exist anywhere else in our city, right?
No. We measured the Lexington Heights. It sits 20 feet off of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And that's it's hard to say that do the same thing here as there, given that it's a very different site. You know, there's real constraints on this site that I think we need to be cognizant of because we're discussing this is an acre and a half. This isn't a lot of land. So it's kind of like the Taco Bell site that we discussed the last few months where every foot matters. As you start putting stuff in, every foot has the potential to move the whole subdivision one way or another.
Is it a public safety concern? Did the old skateboard bike crash? Get the building? It's right there, right?
It could be if there's entrances on here, but it kind of looks like the entrances are going to be mainly focused on the back sides over here.
I'm just talking about the building itself. You say there's 3 feet,
right?
Yeah.
That's ish, pretty close.
I mean, I have real concerns, but I'd like to hear the rest of what you have to say and kind of hear from the public.
Yeah.
Well, and then we get some comments on
that. That one I'm not.
I don't think we can say that.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Let me bring up.
Yeah, I didn't say that we would do a
special. Let me bring up three last things real quick. One is, as the transition between Walmart and this site occurs, there has to be consideration as to the grade on Walmart side and the grade here, so that you don't create a puddle, create some sort of issue. Our engineer brought that up in the study. And then the final two things design or involve the site plan itself. We want to show adequate parking lot lighting. So we want to make sure that we're showing the location of those lighting poles and that there's an adequate number of them. And then finally, the landscaping has to be at 30%, so it doesn't appear that that's the case. There's a landscaping evaluation on the cover sheet of the subdivision, and it appears to come from another subdivision, not this one. So those are my concerns. Those have all been sent, so I think you've already seen those, and those were sent maybe in the last week, so we didn't have time to redo everything that we submit, so we're looking at an older platform, so obviously subject to change. I'm not going to get into the utilities, I think that's something that we'll just work out between the engineering and the developer itself, but what questions can I answer for you?
Let's have a public hearing.
Actually, let me do one thing, sorry. Let's talk about the elevation of the building itself. The building itself is shown, it looks like large blocks, there's a small area of brick, and then it's an area of stucco. So I'll let you guys share your thoughts. What questions can I answer?
What's that a public hearing? So we are now having a public hearing on the topic of preliminary plans for the Lone Peak Landing commercial subdivision located approximately Cedar Drive and 4600 West in the SUM commercial zone. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to give a public comment on this public hearing? If so, you may have 3 minutes of time to express any thoughts you have about the project. And forward, if you could state your name and where you reside.
My name is Robert Ogden. We reside on west of Cedar Hills Drive, three houses west of the corner north of this proposed development. one concern would be how well this development would blend into the Lexington Heights offices and buildings that are going up on the southwest corner of the roundabout, as well as the State Center that is already existing on the northeast corner. The aesthetics of that would be one concern. Another concern is to repeat the concern that we might have of how close these buildings are to the sidewalk. There's a lot of use of traffic, especially in schools in session, when people riding bicycles around that way to get over to school. And then just speaking in general, we've lived in our home for almost about 18 years, and so we fought the Walmart wars, and appreciate very much the concessions that the city council at that time gave to us to isolate us from the activity of Walmart. There's the catch basin is just north of this, and then there's a home directly north of that that would be also impacted by this. So we don't have, I don't have any direct criticisms concerning this, just to ask the commission to take the impact there on the immediate neighborhood. And you probably have more to say at the public hearing than you presented to the city council. Traffic also is a concern. And with what is going up south of that, on the southwest corner, and this as well, could make the area around the roundabout unpleasant, not only just during part of the time, but maybe all the time for those who are in that neighborhood. Thank you very much.
I also just say I want to recognize you from Boy Scouts of America. I just want to thank you for your service there.
Thank you.
Okay, so is there anybody else that wants to make a comment in the public hearing? All right, I will now close the public hearing, seeing no additional people want to make comment. What I'd like to do is let's start with Eric. Eric, do you have any questions for Chandler or concerns, thoughts about this project?
Well, I've been kind of familiar with it as time's gone on. Eric Waters is a neighbor of mine across the street at one point. Still pretty close. And the Caldwell group was trying to put something together. I didn't realize that was going to be double-decker. It's the first time I've seen that, a little surprising. Some of these finishes are a little softening and a little more, harmonious with the buildings around. But I certainly can appreciate comments about the traffic. Of course, I haven't been here, so probably not able to express too much about the new housing development there on the southeast side of that roundabout. But I would say those would be my only comments. It's the height and closeness to the road and how that might impact both school and
Jeff, do you have any anything you want to bring up?
Obviously, we've been open for development in this area for a while, and I look forward to the nice development taking place here. And I think it's really smart to come tonight and ask for thoughts from the commission and thoughts from the city as well. And there'll be time to respond to those. Concerns I have mirror some of what you were mentioning before. The first thing I noticed when I look at the site plan is how close the buildings are to the sidewalk. And I look at the context, this circle feels kind of like the heart, if you will. Every time I go around that circle, I'm on in Cedar Hills, and feels good. And I've got red brick buildings, they're two-story massing, they're set back from the walkways curve, they're landscaped, there's trees along them, and I have always fully expected that the rest of the circle would be developed in the same manner. We have the residential development to the south that's going to incorporate those landscaped walkways, and I would expect any development on this property to do the same, and I don't see any of that in this example. 20,000 square feet, I'm assuming it's a one-story building that's trying to develop a two-story facade on one side. It's the one I'm seeing the renderings here.
It's about 20 feet high, and then we would have, we've added that facade so it would tie in to the area. But it's, these are pretty standard buildings that are going everywhere. Normally, they will be one-story. You could put a mezzanine office space in the front. And that happens on the kind of depends on the use.
And what I'm looking for is
by the way, I think it will be shorter than either Lexington or the church.
Right. Right. What I'm looking for as a community member and as a commissioner is a building that reflects the character of the buildings that are already there. I'm looking for a building with sloped roofs that has solar materials. I'm not in favor of the stucco or the large block exterior at all. I'm looking for a brick exterior. We have a strong context there. It's not in the middle of a commercial zone that has a mixture of materials and building heights and types. It's a pretty strong context where the development is being proposed. That would be what, you know, for recommendation purposes, that would be what I'm looking for.
There's a portion on the rendering that they provided that does show the nice looking room. I think that before that would be extended throughout the building, it's around the block of the entrance, I believe. Yeah, it's on there.
I guess it's
so. So I think if that were to be extended, I saw the same large block and kind of thought this kind of stands out a little bit versus what's currently there in places.
Yeah, again, to me, the building needs to be pulled back from the roadway, the landscape walkway, the buildings, and
the walkway. One of the problems with that is that. Is that this solid line? Here's the property line. We've already got an existing sidewalk there, so we've got some streetscapes that are established on some level. So I'll be working with that.
I'm just telling you what I would like to see when you look at the Lexington Heights across the road. The feeling is you're looking at the front of the building, even though I know you enter from the other side. I don't get that sense from what I'm seeing here in the renderings as well. I don't want to drive around that circle in the heart of Cedar Hills and be looking at what appears to be the back of the building. And I agree with the comment made earlier, anytime you go around that circle, anytime you're near here, there are people out on the sidewalks walking their dogs, kids are everywhere, walking to and from the stores. And we absolutely, in my opinion, want this section of walkway, keep coming back to it, to feel the same as the rest of what's already known.
That it?
That's all.
John? No, I don't feel any need to belabor the points that have been made in agreement with most of them. To a great extent, I am a little worried about the color palette chosen. I think it needs to be a little more cohesive with the existing buildings. I don't think there's anything to do with the housing development for the setback, and there'll be a fence there. So
we're not gonna, technically, it's also about the commercial building.
And it's not commercial. But I would like more of a feel like we're getting a Lexington Heights. I think it would feel a little more comfortable. personally, I'd like to see it swapped, and if anything, have the parking towards the front and buildings towards the back. That's me. It doesn't allow for the big bay doors and everything. If they're smaller units, it might feel a little more open and welcoming that way. But then you're going to make the bay doors. It would be a possibility.
I think it kind of plays into the challenge of the site itself.
Yeah.
An acre and a half, like I said.
Pretty limited on
everything that would put it precious.
Yeah. Understood. All storm water to be retained outside?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So normally they have, normally their developments are required to incorporate half of the storm rain off of adjacent roads. So take their half and continue. We're looking into this, but we believe that you see, if you look at an area, you see some inlet boxes here.
Yeah.
And this is a retention, a current retention basin. So we're thinking that this was developed. That already incorporated that storm drain, so it would be required then to retain everything on their property.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
That's what I mean.
So, Stephen.
So, a couple of things. In the current zoning, there are what the colonial design requirements that. Obviously, doesn't mean, right? That doesn't look like what we mandated for the design firms, right? So I think that's the first thing is like we've got to comply with the design requirements we've set forth already. Is there a limitation? I mean, having that front of the building close to the sidewalk might be annoying, but is there a Are we going to have to, is this a conditional approval or some kind of amendment or something we're going to have to do to allow that? Or is it technically okay as is?
Well, what are the setback requirements? I guess the only setback requirements are ones adjacent to homes. I guess my answer is going to be really non-committal,
but I want commitment.
I would say off the top of my head, there's nothing to require.
Okay.
Unless you can then identify a condition that needs to be mitigated.
Well, there is a condition that'd be 30% landscape, yes.
That's not a condition, that's required.
Required.
So, in order to, let's say that this corner was shaped a little bit differently or something, but maybe this is a 60-mile-an-hour road. Let's play what if. Well, if this building sits so close to the road, then you might have an issue with the site triangle, given that it's such a fast road, the cars are approaching at such a speed that it doesn't give you enough time to look and see oncoming traffic. You know, so if I'm driving on this road, I'm coming up Cedar Hills Drive, I can't see down this road until I get to about this point where the work drive is. At that point, I can see right here. Now, the question is that adequate, given the speeds of the roundabout, is that adequate warning for oncoming traffic? So really at a roundabout, you're only looking left.
Depends on the time of day.
Are high schools going around the other way? No, there's pedestrians. So like you're looking at pedestrian traffic, but if you're looking for oncoming traffic, you're only looking left in this case. But you're right, there could be pedestrian traffic at some point. That ice shop stays there, there's always
where would the shop stay? In the parking lot?
It could stay there. I mean, they just have to work out an agreement. Right now, they have an agreement with current property owner, and they have an agreement with Walmart to use restrooms. So they just have to work out an agreement. Walmart is a little differently. Walmart's development agreement doesn't allow for parking lot sales like that. So that's why they're off the Walmart side. So that's something that would have to be worked out between the ICE stand and the developer.
As far as I know, it's just a temporary until we go to the building. There you go.
So the one is like, I don't think that we should give up any of our design guidelines that are already existing.
No,
for this. We need to see a landscaping plan, we need to see a dumpster plan, we need to see all that stuff before we say, yeah, this works, because we need to see where the spaces are. Like that's just the other thing, I whether I feel it's okay or not, the whole sidewalk building, unit seven though, could create a problem because there's a whole lot more pedestrian traffic that goes on that side on Cedar Hills Drive than there is maybe on the other pieces of this. So when folks are walking across,
right here?
Just along the property. So they, like they would be coming down Cedar Hills Drive, going around the roundabout and coming by that way to go to the high school, or go to Walmart.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot of pedestrian traffic on, especially through here.
I do, and people cut into the Walmart from that way and go down to the other stores, that kind of thing. So that unit seven kind of cuts into that maybe more than the rest of it does. It pushes that pedestrian traffic out a little bit.
We don't want to cut into our property.
But the sidewalk, I mean, they're going to be on that sidewalk, and you can't really see around that unit seven. So if you're a pedestrian walking through that,
so you're saying if you're a pedestrian walking here, unless it is a bike coming this way,
yeah, you're not going to be able to see that very well.
You may not be able to see very well.
And that's just the only concern. Like whether it's, it sounds like there's an allowance for them to be close to the sidewalk, but there's no setback requirement. That's not, but I think that there is a little bit of a safety issue there where people coming across the crosswalk and then walking down there wouldn't be able to see around the corner and avoid, you know, bikes or skateboards or whatever it is as well. But it's just a personal observation.
How do we determine health and safety? Is there an authoritative body we rely on to determine public safety? Which is our chief, our chief. And we typically always get them on the way on these projects, or sometimes. A lot of times they're looking for location firearms, and then looking to make sure that their firearms can enter the project area. But with this being so close to the road anyway, it's fire truck won't access anyway. Police don't really weigh in on it. So we don't really have it's up to this body, city staff, city council, to ascertain.
I don't have any specific issues with like the concept or maybe even the building shapes or anything like that. It's just like there's a specific set of design guidelines for the zone. I think we made Walmart before my time, but we made Walmart bend over backwards and everybody else to like match what the design guidelines were.
And everyone's been pretty adamant that if you're gonna make me do it, you better make everyone else do it.
I think that's fair in this case, because I mean, everything else is brick and colonial looking and...
It's colonial as you can make the top of
it. Right, I mean, it's not it's not Jamestown, but you know.
Is that all you have, Steve? Anything else?
I think so. I just there's pieces of it missing that we're not, we don't have the whole picture yet.
So before bringing up the things I want to talk about, is anybody else want to bring up anything? Go ahead. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, so I just had a question. I'm trying to read it here, but what? Let's see. There's two entrances, one
correct
into the Walmart parking lot, and one from Redwood Drive.
Correct.
And what is there? And there's this little landscaping park in the middle of the parking. What is it that's along behind those parking spaces?
On the long fence? Are you saying?
Is there a retainer wall or is that?
There's an existing wall that is along this property line right now. That makes it so you can't see behind the Walmart there. So this is an existing wall right here.
It goes that far down?
Yeah. I believe so.
I don't know. That's pretty old.
It may extend only to a certain point, but there is a wall where you can't see behind the Walmart there. Between the wall and the proposed parking stalls, that's showing as sod, so the grass.
Yeah, I have to look at that. Maybe it does go to the beginning of that back entrance. But my feeling is, and I don't know how anybody else feels, and in all respect to the attorney, I can just see a lot of people, slash kids, whatever, cutting through there, whether they're wanted or not, rather than them taking all the little steps around the sidewalk, I just feel like that's going to happen. And that could create a little bit of a hazard with cars coming in and out of there.
So it's human nature to take the shortcut, right? And we all do it. It'll happen. It will also be the
same. But you can't create a situation where that has to be allowed, that's encouraged.
Right.
That's between the property owner. I imagine the city saying, well, you need to open the landscape so people can cut through your yard, but you can't do that.
It's up to the property owner to mitigate
sidewalks. Back to the wall, though, it does turn there in here. I don't see a picture of it.
Oh, okay. So, right, there are you getting of that one?
Yes.
So that's going to deter some of the food traffic.
Where is it?
On the map of the sand.
See that? Yeah. The existing wall terminates right here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that'll stop them.
Sure. You anything else, Eric?
No.
So, Jeff, you had something?
Yeah, just one minor comment. Other developments in this area, one of the concerns we've brought repeatedly and will likely bring up again with this one, is the fact that the landscape requirement is meant to benefit the public, meant to benefit the community. It's not just a number we're looking for to check off. What I see right now, again, in this current site plan, I don't know it's not your final, but I'm seeing everything behind the buildings and pushing back in the direction of this essentially landscape walkable buffer between the street and whatever kind of building is built adjacent to it. We're going to bring up the same, or at least I have the same concern we had before, that landscape requirement is designed to benefit the community and the public. That means it ought to be visible and we ought to be able to engage with it as we move through their site, or at least adjacent to the site.
All right, so let me bring up a couple of items. So just to give you background on that. So the landscape requirements, is that number 30% of the base number? Is that the requirement?
Yes.
And what is currently, is 30% depicted already here?
No. I don't know.
You don't
there's a tabulation on the first page, but it's wrong. Yeah.
Just, so we're looking at it stands now, this doesn't
matter. I don't have a good idea.
We don't
much. I don't have a good idea how much less getting
there is. But that front little spot there with the retention basin there, is that part of the property?
That part of the property.
Okay, so that doesn't count.
So it's within, I've this obviously, I'm going to try not to do it on this one, but it's within this box.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
which is mostly parking.
I'll reiterate the colonial look and feel. I think that's pretty self-evident in our requirements and design guidelines. I also want to talk about unit 7, but for a different angle than 50. So if one is driving east on Cedar Hills Drive, they will see the back side of unit 7 coming up that street. And thus they will see nice sliding warehouse door on unit 7. So I'd like to see unit 7 have some additional design to the back side to mitigate that. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be the person that deals with that topic, but I just know that as it stands now, I'm not excited about the big bay doors, but right now they're pretty much hidden from the public unless you're in the parking lot, except for unit 7. If you're coming up that Cedar Hills Drive, you're going to have a nice look.
Now, there's a prohibition on visible bay doors except for, did we change that, except for automotive type businesses like car washes and Tiffy Lube and that kind of stuff? Like we recently made this change, right?
I know we talked about it, I don't remember
exactly.
I
believe they could be somewhat visible, but
yeah, I think we need to review that.
Well, it's reviewing the existing code, not changing it explicitly.
Well, so it's like somewhat visible.
Well, I think we just changed it. That's why. I think we changed this one.
I'll have to go look at it. I don't know.
Well, anyway, even if it, we need to go back and look at what we recently passed.
on that topic, but even so, I think it's hard for only looking to build the big building and stuff. I don't know if that means you want to face, you know, several differently from a design perspective, but that'd be something I'd be looking for. I believe the very, very early conceptual plans, maybe I'm wrong, but didn't they include, instead of having an exit into Walmart, wasn't the exit there in the south, right back there?
I don't believe so. If they did, I would encourage them to do what they're doing right now.
Why so?
Well, just because you've got an exit right here, it's very, very close to the one.
Right.
And so, close to that crosswalk.
I agree it's close to that whole, the whole,
it's close to the existing Walmart walk, and it's close to this crosswalk here, so it's just, I think that's a recipe for it.
So the only concern I have with the exit is planned, and that is that, we're pushing all the traffic into Walmart, and if they want to head west, they can turn and head west, but they can't go east from there. They're allowed to come all the way through Walmart by the outdoor.
You can head east from there.
No. There's an island in the way, and it's cut out. This is where I come. So anyway, I'm just saying that we're percentage of this traffic's gonna end up going through Walmart, past the Walmart shopping doors.
Does Walmart have a problem with shoppers going by their
houses before? I don't know.
But if you're in the east, going all the way over the other Walmart exit coming out would be crazy. Just going north exit this, you
know,
I just generally
like having public exits on the private property. That's just me. But I don't
know. But this is that something to keep in mind, though, with that, though, is when Walmart subdivided their property, they carved out pieces for the Chase Bank, for the McDonald's, and for this piece. So this is technically part of the greater Walmart development. So that's why you see the cutout there on the east side. So it's, I believe it's been planned for it as this place.
Some other thoughts. This is just something, you know, mitigating means for neighbors, kind of this similar. We have delivery hour restrictions for Walmart, right?
It's just for the whole
city, right? So, that's our code, right? Yeah. What is, do you remember what that is?
I'll pitch in, help me out. So, like 7 a.m. to.
When you cannot deliver or you can't deliver.
So, yeah. I believe it falls close to the noise restrictions. That's something we just never had an issue with.
Yeah. So I personally kind of have a hard time approving this preliminary plan without a more specific landscape plan that demonstrates 30% or more. And I'd like to see a colonial look and feel type concept. I think it was intended to accomplish that with this rendering. But I think it fell short. Well, not too short, but. And then I too would like to see the building pushed back, even if it's just a matter of a few feet. I don't know what that does to the viability of the project, though. With your square footage building there, but it's just really what it would look close to the sidewalk. Those are my three major concerns for the project personally. So I personally have a hard time approving a preliminary plan, but I see that remedy in some manner. That's my opinion. Anybody else have anything else you want to discuss? Ask? Raise up? Yes, sir.
Well, I guess in digesting this a little more, listening to more discussion, any pedestrian traffic there, it really can't be any worse than it is in the Walmart parking lot with all the parking and cars pushing through the if they could do these other things you folks are talking about, like going back slightly and getting some more look to it and the front facade being more barring, you know? But suddenly wanting to develop something there.
Right. I'd also mention, it seems like some of these projects we have, I mean, all this body for preliminary approval oftentimes lack the landscape plan, and then we end up tabling it or pushing it because we want to see the landscape plan. So, just generally speaking, in the future engagements, we want to have a landscape plan.
There is a landscape plan, I just think it's not quite there yet.
Is it 20,000 square feet or something?
The total acreage is 1.52. There has to be about 20,000 square feet of landscaping or something.
The building area, sorry.
Building area is 23,136 feet.
So it's going to be like 20,000 square feet of landscape. Has to be done on this.
0.3%,
which is about the footprint of the building.
Yeah, that's why I say that it's very challenging on the site. So, yeah. You see the problem.
One of the things we'd like to do is good that city property is part of that landscape.
I think one thing we need to go look at is how that was incorporated into city mission. That's part of Walmart's greater landscape plan. We'll have to go with that. Let's say the Walmart did that improvement, right? This is part of the Walmart subdivision, Brian Artwood. Phillips Edison subdivision, because they're the original subdividers here. And they over-landscaped part of their property. Could that act as a credit to this development?
So currently this is going to be the parking requirements office, current requirements for the office space. So with 6 per 1,000, so we're looking at 138 parking spaces?
No, our intent is not to have office spaces on this
building. But then what is our standard then for parking for this square footage?
It's hard to say without.
But I mean, we have to have something. We have to say, like, it's, is it 4? Is it 6? Is it 2? Is it like, I mean, like, that's.
He's saying that's a code. He just doesn't know it off the top of his head.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Chandler, it's 7 a.m. You're restricted to the hours between 7 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. on weekdays and 9 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. on weekends.
So we have two choices. One is to table, the other is to elaborate.
We can table it and suggest some additional information we'd like to see, or we can deny it and they could come back again with another preliminary.
So
the plan, or we could approve it.
So David, I think that the elevations here with the colonial look, like that's not really supposed to be part of the site plan. That'll be later. Like we talked about it, but I don't think we can, there's nothing actionable on what it looks like. But what we can do something about is, hey, there's not enough. We don't know what the parking requirement needs to be. We don't know what the landscape needs to look like. Those things, I don't think we can make a decision because
But we can signal to the developer that we anticipate that for the final.
I would lean that direction. That hey, look, we would love to, you know, entertain this if it meets the requirements, and it doesn't right now. I mean, there's somebody's going to always want to build on this property and. They're going to keep coming back with suggestions. I think it's a great one, but it's got to meet the requirements.
And it's like any idea that's going to work in the city. And is it, honestly, this is probably close to the highest and best use of this land.
Yeah.
It just needs to be solved from here.
But it's in answer to your question on the parking. It's $6,000 for office space, and for retail space, it's $4,000. There's not really provision, and this is why I look it up, is there's not really provision for
building shell.
Other space, you know, so that's why I say it's very difficult to, because you've got $3 to put it in, it's restaurant, retail, or office.
And what's the, what's the restaurant one?
It's one stall for three seats, plus per employee.
Sounds like it's a range of 4 to 6.
Range of 4 to 6. We're sort of close if it's 4, we're way off if it's 6.
Yeah, if he's saying like the whole building is not going to be, like Mr. West said, the whole building is not going to be office, you can designate a certain portion of the building as office space and then designate the rest as retail slash other. And say that as you develop this building and you fill the shell, there can only be so much office space. That's an idea. The other idea is you look at our current office parking and say, are we over parking for office space in the
Well, the M-Store, what are we requiring them to do?
Say that again?
For M-Store, what are we requiring for them to build? It's not office space, but it's not other space or restaurant space.
Well, there's permitted uses in the zone, right? And that's what they're permitted to do. Yeah. This is their permitted
uses. It's permitted uses, but like Taco Bell is a permitted use, but you still have to demonstrate after parking for the Taco Bell.
I generally side on not trying to dictate which unit can be X or Y or Z, because I think that
doesn't matter.
The developer's ability to market the property.
Yes. Yeah, I
agree, but I think this is going to be.
I mean, but if we say it's only one or two, you know, units per 1,000 square feet, and then it ends up like filling into the streets and all the way from. It's an insurmountable problem that we have then.
I guess, could you repeat your name? It's Bill West. Let me address some of the issues you're talking about. First of all, the elevation, you kind of put us in a hammer lock with this because you want a real finished facade when we don't have a building yet. And so one of the things we're trying to do is get the boundary or the layout tied down so that when you go to our architect and have them design a building for us. So we've just made some attempts here to do something colloquial. We don't want to have a building. We don't want a building that doesn't comply with the kind of standard. We want something that looks good and fits good. We just kind of put together this thing that we thought looks kind of colloquial. You know, if I had my brothers, we'd probably put it against the back, and then you'd have those garage doors showing which you really don't want. So one of the things that we're not over utilizing this space, we do these, we've done quite a few of these projects. On a 1 acre parcel, we're able to get 20,000 square feet. This is over an acre and a half, and we're just getting like 24,000 feet. So we're not trying to overdevelop it. The parking requirement in most cities is 1 per 1,000 for open space, and then it goes to 3 per 1,000 for office space, or 3 1/3. Sometimes it's 333, so it'd be 3 per 1,000 square feet. So 1 per 333 square feet. I'm not familiar with anybody that has 6, but we're not. The office space in this market is really all out of Thanksgiving going now. We're not going to have much office space here. We think this will be, as we talked about, either a sports thing or a dance. The sports thing you're talking about, and I'm familiar with, I take my grandkids to these places. At night, it's a nightmare, but they have competition going on. This would be just a training facility, you know, that they would utilize. He always has the ultimate here, because any business we have has got to come in for a business license. And so if we've got a parking problem, they can stop that, you know, as we try to do other businesses in the park. So, but as I said earlier, we're going to operate this and all, we don't want to have a parking problem. We don't want to have a traffic problem. We don't want a safety problem. So I think that we're trying to do what we can to make this work and be a nice addition to the city this time.
You have experience with projects like this?
Yes.
How many have you done?
We've done probably 10.
Similar nature to this?
Pardon?
Similar nature
to this? Yes, a lot like this. We've done these from Payson, throughout Utah County, Payson, Minnesota, Pleasantville. Then we've done commercial projects in Salt Lake County.
So the number of parking stalls you elected to but then it was based on some level of experience.
Yes.
In your other,
yes.
Right. And those projects, parking is contained on the property itself? Or?
Yes, yes. No, we have a soft over. Early on, we were going 1 to 2. Now we're trying to get between 3 and 4 spaces per 1,000 because of the usage, and we think it would be plenty adequate for this.
And what kind of use of these other projects have been? What kind of usage has kind of ended up using this kind of space?
It varies a lot. Some of those, it depends on the location. Some of them, we got some subcontractors that are buying DB and HA. So probably we won't see that here. We have we've got an engineering company that develops fine welding material for jewelry, and they've grown and grown, and so they have quite a bit of warehouse space where they store things, and it's a manufacturing space, and then some office space. We've got a company that develops jams and jellies, and so they do some food processing. We've had to handle that in a different way with sewage treatment and all that kind of stuff. We've got consignment places where people, there's a lot of sales now over the internet. People just bring in stuff, package it, or redo it, or add to it, and then send it out. And they're doing that a lot in their garages. We think that this will be a market for that.
So if you were to set this building back in the sidewalk, which seems to be an incredible certain spot, you would have to either reduce the parking or reduce the side of the building itself. So if you can reduce the size of the building to provide for a greater setback from the public sidewalk by some magnitude, does that impact your ability to viably sell and market this property?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we want this to be in the boundaries that we put here. We think we've met the city code for this. So I think, you know, we'd like to, we'll do the landscaping the way we should, we'll do the parking the way we should. I think we should be allowed to set the building where it's feasible on the site. And as I mentioned, 24,000 feet on an acre and a half is not heavy usage.
Thank you for your time.
I will agree that there's not a line of people breaking down the door to the office spaces here. There's just not a lot of places going, this isn't an ideal place to go in offices. So I do think that the other use category we discussed, parking, is probably the likely scenario.
One last.
Yes, sir. You can continue until you're done.
No, no. what about the idea of considering that it has to be, there's cost and effectiveness, of considering maybe just one or two less units.
So something that gave my Eric in this body of this, so we, our role is to improve the code. Not to, unless there's public safety, or we can demonstrate that there's some public impact, right? So I think when we, you know, we don't have a setback requirement for in the commercial zone for buildings. So it's kind of hard for us to require them to move it back unless we can demonstrate there's a public safety or something of that nature, right? We just can't arbitrarily require them to do that. And we can't necessarily, you know, require them to use the number of units unless we can demonstrate there's a public safety concern or something in the code, maybe there's on a setback or something that you're right.
Is there a minimum square footage for commercial units in the code?
No, not from understanding the question. So I think
I mean,
building area or size of the building?
No, so if like, could I rent out a closet in Lexington Heights to someone, and that's a business unit, that's fine.
Like, you could make that closet meet building and fire code?
That's what's the building and fire code size requirement for a commercial unit? Is there one?
If there's one, it's just the compliance with
fire.
Firewalls and electrical.
And so, once you start putting all those elements into a building, then you start to develop its own minimum square footage. In thinking about this, if office space is limited in this, and as Mr. West says that you're over parked, there might be an ability to work out a development agreement between this development and the city that basically stipulates how much office space they can have, basically maxing out their office space at X, and the rest shall be other retail type uses that are parked at a certain square footage. So that if we ever do get into the placement of everyone wants to put an office in Cedar Hills, then this isn't the building that they can. Basically limiting future use in order to accommodate the parking here. If he's going to go in and adjust the landscaping plan, but he can't move the building, I'm certain that they've done some sort of pro forma on the building, and the size and the units meets certain pro forma requirements that they've met that show that they can, you know, this becomes a profitable development for them. Well, then we have to probably look at some other options and saying, okay, well, if we're going to start getting into some of these parking stalls, we're going to severely limit the amount of office space that you can put into this because it's parked at a higher rate, and you're going to have to find more retail options that are parked at a lower rate in order to accommodate the lower parking. Am I making sense? Am I a little? I think you're making sense. I guess my own personal thought is the opposite.
Okay.
Wanting a minimal amount of office space. Again, I go back to my original comment about this being the heart of Cedar Hills. When I look at that roundabout, I back away and I look at our community. And, you know, Walmart's been a real benefit to our community. We want to keep them. But when Walmart went in, suddenly the back was pushed towards this heart and leaves this lot there that we are having some difficulty finding someone to develop. I get that. If I look at Lexington, is exactly what people were hoping would happen all the way around that circle. Church came in, built the State Center there. Probably, I can't read their mind, thinking likely that that's the kind of development they were getting into. When I hear welding shops and other warehouse type things that require large overhead doors, I'm chagrined. I kind of take a step back and I think, you know, looking at this, looking at our city, looking at the community, I'm just wondering, do is that what we want to put there? I know we can only administer the code. I get that.
Sure.
But I think there's a time when we can at least express an opinion that this is ideally how we thought the land would be used and how it ought to be developed. I can't say that if you put an office building there, it's going to be successful. But I sure wish it would be, and I wish that's what we would see. Again, with the residential development to the south, we're going to continue to push on the fact that the landscaping is walkable. And so I'm afraid we're losing something with a big overhead door type building going on that block, right?
I guess I would counter with we have a list of approved uses in this zone, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I can come up here and say I want a welding shop and I want a coal mine and I want, you know, A, B, and C. Well, out of A, B, C, and D, maybe only C is actually an approved use. So I don't even know off the top of my head, but that kind of probably depends on the welder, really. I mean, it's what it's like small, you know,
sure,
circuit boards versus, you know, big.
I'm telling you what I wish would happen.
So, I guess we established an initially permitted uses, and we assume that the use would comply with what's happening.
I'm painfully aware, having been the one who asked us to rewrite our design guidelines 3 years ago when we did, I'm painfully aware of the fact that we can only administer what we've got, right? What we had before was the best we could do 10 years ago. But we're far better now than we were before.
Yeah.
We can't only administer what we've got to work with. We were asked for suggestions and thoughts, and I wanted to make that.
I think there's been some valuable feedback given, and I think that the primary purpose is, one of the primary purposes of our commercial zone is to generate sales tax revenue for the city. That is one of the purposes of the zone. Office building doesn't necessarily generate sales tax revenue. Fulfillment may, manufacturing may, if you're selling those goods. Offices might, next year might, right? And you know, we already have a, you know, we have a bank in our commercial zone that doesn't generate sales tax revenue. We just, you know, advocated X number of acres to a residential community that's not going to generate sales tax revenue.
But I think you're overly emphasizing sales tax. If I'm going to name the goals for the SC1 zone are one, to create a commercial city center, two, to create a place conducive to community gathering, more better than a building shop. Three, to provide a place for convenient community services. Four, to provide for mixed land uses. And five, to expand the city's sales tax base. There's nothing that gives priority to the sales tax base.
Right. And we talked about community all services. All of those is equal except for sales tax. That's what I'm thinking about. So that's the problem. Unless that you get accepted right now, all else to
so, next year. Does this body want to make a motion to either recommend or not recommend based on what we have before us? Is there more dialogue we need to have on this topic?
The third option would be to continue this.
I'm more in favor of letting them go back to the landscape design board here and sharpen this up and then bring it back to us.
And based on the previous comment, the developers, and we would like get a sense of what we approved, so we can do that design and go ahead too, right?
So I want to say something chicken and egg, that they can come with a sample board that probably more likely fits what's in the colonial palette, so to speak. And then in the final round, have where we've got preliminary building envelope established, come with some more established building elevations using those materials.
I'm not as concerned about these materials yet as I am about the footprints and where is the dumpster going to be, and are we really parking up the right through the parking lots, and is there enough landscape and water retention on site to do this? Like that's my concern. And the setbacks, I probably won't like seeing the side of it, but I have nothing to do with that because there's no requirement.
So, do you want to make a motion?
This is five.
Yes.
Excellent. Close to time.
Lost.
I move that we table the preliminary plans for the Lone Peak Landing commercial subdivision pending submission of a revised landscaping plan. Pending a submission of a revised landscaping plan. So.
That's the only thing. Can we try it? Can we broaden that to maybe expand to say revised landscaping plan plus a resolution to comments from the staff, city staff, engineer, and the engineer? I guess my concern is that it goes back beyond just landscaping plan.
Okay. So I move that we table the preliminary plans for the Lone Peak Landing commercial subdivision pending submission of a new landscaping plan and notes from engineering and staff for additional actions. Close enough.
What are those notes? I don't know what those notes are.
Just say resolution. I
present
my staff.
What was that?
The C. Yeah, the C. Because they're going to comply with whatever the engineers. Like, I obviously didn't go through
you know, change the grade of this storm drain inlet box by 2%. I'm not going to go through all those, so we'll be here all night. But they've got a list of engineering items they need to comply with. In addition to the landscaping plan, there's the dumpster. There's the, you know, maybe the realizing look at the buildings themselves. I know you're not as concerned about that right now, but they are going to have to submit something, whether it's
eventually,
whether it's a samples board or an actual rendering of the building. There's going to have to be something that goes with it, or else it's going to get hung up at the council level. Just as
that's true. Acceptable site plan and building elevation.
There you go.
What did you say?
Just an acceptable site plan and building elevation.
Okay. We'll try this for a third time.
So
I move that we table the preliminary plans for the Lone Peak Landing commercial subdivision pending resolution of items. I'm losing it.
Pending an acceptable site plan.
Conditions or requirements?
An acceptable site plan and what was the last one?
Building elevation.
Okay. Can you sort that out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. I'll get that.
Anyone want to second that motion?
I'll second.
You want to talk about it before we vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Who seconded it? I'm sorry. Oh, John, okay.
So, item number 6 is adjournment, and you can't do that unless somebody's in motion. We'll just stuck here all night.
I move that we adjourn.
I second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Good job.